14th chapter of Jeremiah. Are you glad to be in church tonight? You know, this is the happiest place that you could be. You know, it's amazing when I was out in the world, and like you were talking earlier, we can go to a deer stand and we can sit there 4 or 5 hours, or we can go here and there. But when we come to church, we want to put a time on it. Or if we come to church, do we have time to come to church? But when I was a heathen out in the world, I paid no attention to what time I got home. When I was a heathen out in the world, time did not matter. But all of a sudden, when you fall in love with God, and all of a sudden you want to serve God, and you want the best in you, all of a sudden you've got to put a watch on. Like you have a time frame that you've got to go by now. See, when I was out in the world as a heathen, you know what? I never got on my knees and said, "Satan, I'm worshiping you." No, it was my actions that was showing that I was actually worshiping him. And you know what? I felt like this. If I could be that kind of a heathen out in the world, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I am not going to go through this life knowing that I claim that I was more excited about being out in the world. I want people to see Jesus Christ lives on the inside of me. I want to be radical. I want to be a nut. I want people to go, "You're a Jesus freak." Well, thank you. Call me that again. I love that. Yes, I'm glad it shows on the inside of me. Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I love the one who saved me. And when you're not ashamed of the gospel and you walk around like that, your Lord and Savior who lives on the inside of you is going to have favor on your life. Blessings is going to come on your life. Doors are going to open that you didn't think was going to open, because the Father loves his children and he wants to take care of you. So there's a reward system when you stand up and say, "Hey, I love Jesus and I love him with all my heart." There's a reward system that goes along with that, because we happen to be his sons and daughters and he loves his children. Can you say amen? In Jeremiah, I want to go to the 17th chapter in verse 5. It says, "Thus says the Lord." Now, anytime that you're reading your Bible and it opens up, "Thus says the Lord," it gets your attention right there. So it says, "Thus said the Lord, curses men who trust in men and makes the flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited." Now right there, when we talk about in verse 5, curse is a man who trusts in man and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. There are three characteristics right there that you need to pay attention to. The first thing, if you are cursed if you put your trust in man. You've got to ask yourself, what is man? I'm not necessarily talking about, and it can be, but I'm going to refer more to of our society, of our system. Where is your trust at? Is your trust in Jesus Christ, or is your trust in the White House? Is your trust in whatever D.C. tells us, or is your trust in what J.C. tells us? Because when you've got your eyes on society and you believe what society tells you is going to happen, you're cursed by looking at what society tells you what's going to happen. Because you're believing in what man says is going to happen to you. See, the Bible points out very clearly that we have a jealous God. God does not want to share his position. God wants to be number one. And you'll hear me say this throughout tonight. God wants you to be number one in his life. But if you don't put him number one, it's not going to stop him from being number one. Because God wants to be number one in your life. But he says, "I want you to look at me, and I don't want you to look at man." And what has happened today, we have allowed the society, we have allowed the things of this world come inside of the church, and we have believed what the world has said instead of what the Word has said. And we've got to go back to the Word of what the Word has said and not what the world has said. If we hear a report tomorrow from our economists from over our economy and said it's going to be doom and gloom. People are going to believe it, and they're going to start saving and everything that they can save for, because that's what the world says is going to happen. And being from the business arena, I've had people ask me, well, Pastor, what do you think about that? What do you think where this world, what do you think what the economy is going to be? My answer is this: I decided not to participate. Because I'm not going to get caught up in what the world says, what we can and cannot do. There's one source, and His name is Jesus Christ. There's one source, and His name is Jesus Christ, and He's the one that has the answers. He's the one that lives on the inside of you, and He's the one that can open up the doors. Because, see, our society has already proven something that we thought, every one of us here tonight would thought that this would never happen. Our society shut down. It is on the books that our government shut down. And if you would have asked anybody that before it ever happened, they would have said, no way. There's no way our society was shut down. There's no way that our government was shut down. But you know what? Our government did shut down. And you know what? Our government had to do bailouts. Our government had to do this. They had to manipulate anything they can manipulate to make things right, to get things going back. But see, I've got a word for you. Heaven is never shut down. Jesus has never been impeached. The heaven has always been open. So I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to keep my eyes on what the world says what we can and cannot do. Now, some of you might grab a hold of that, and some of you don't want to, Pastor. Well, you know what? God will never let you down. The Word will never come back void. It's always going to be there for you, but we have to grab a hold of it. And what the believers have to do, they have to start standing up and knowing that that it's true. Because really, the believers, and I'm not talking about you all, I'm talking about as a whole, the believers have quit believing. They have quit believing what Jesus Christ can do. You know what? I'm not going to quit believing. I can't have the faith for you, but I can have the faith for me. And I'm not just going to go gloom and doom and say, you know what, this is not going to work anymore. You know, I appreciate everywhere where the pastors have been. They've traveled many countries. And you know what? Until you leave America and then come back, then you can have a pretty good understanding what's going on in other countries. You know what, folks? I love America. Y'all love America. But we're the fat cats of the world. I traveled South Africa, and I shared this with you guys today in 2005, and it just totally messed me up. It messed my wife up. You know, Pastor Rodney carried us over there, Pastor Rodney and Pastor Adonica, and we went over to South Africa, and I've never in my life seen a group of people worship God like that before in my life. And they walked 2 to 3 days to get there to worship Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit was telling me, look at my children. They believe in me. Look what my children are doing. They're celebrating my name. Look at what my children are doing. And He says, you, Americans, you get upset when your cell phones don't work. They don't have cell phones. But what they do have is me. We've got to come back to Jesus Christ. And that's why with Pastor Rodney and the journey that him and Pastor Adonica are on, going to Washington, D.C., folks, is not about having a good meeting. Pastor Rodney has had many good meetings. He's the one that rented Madison Square Garden, cost him $6.7 million. He went to Shreveport, cost him several hundred thousands of dollars. It's not about having a good meeting. It's about going to Washington, D.C. and changing America. And you know what? That's where we need to have our prayers at. We need to be praying for Pastor Rodney and Pastor Adonica for the journey that they're on, that favor will come upon their life that's never came upon their life, that boldness will come upon their life like it's never come upon their life. Because America needs a great awakening. America needs to fall back in love again with Jesus Christ. Because As your speaker the other night, David was going through the slides, and we've took prayer out of the schools. Look what's happened to our schools. Look what's happened to our kids. They're going to school unprotected because the blood of Jesus Christ is not on the school buildings like it used to be. And we've got to have the blood of Jesus Christ for the protection that watches over our kids that are going to school. We've got to have that. We've gotten away from that. But look what has happened to that. Look what happened to Sandy Hook. These precious kids go to school and a gunman comes in there and starts shooting these kids. That's just about as demonic can get. And you know, I don't know of this pastor, but he was sending this email and just really feeling for the people. And then his reply to his email was, "Where's your God now? Where's your God now?" And I loved his response. Exactly where y'all put him. Outside the steps. Because see, we took Jesus out of the schools. We've taken Jesus out of our society. And that's why America has to have this awakening. That's why America has to fall back in love with Jesus Christ again. That's why America has got to stand up and say, you know what? We can't make it without Jesus Christ. We can't make it without the one who lives on the inside of us. Because we know what he can and cannot do. Folks, we've got to grab a hold of that again. We've got to fall back in love with that again. We've got to know that our Jesus can do anything. Because you can go down a road with Jesus living on the inside of you, with you pressing into the Word like you've never pressed into the Word before. You can go down a road that can be very scary, because you can go down a road that all things are going to be working, that you're going to be blessed. Great things are going to happen because who lives on the inside of you? Them days are not over. Them days are here because Jesus Christ is still alive. The question is, when that comes upon you, how can you handle it? What's going to be your attitude about that? Because see, for me and my wife, we've told God, use us, abuse us, do everything that you can through us, because we're going to give you the glory. We're going to let people know who's doing it. We're not the great negotiators. We're not the great business people, but we're a couple who loves Jesus Christ, and we know he can do anything. We know he can do all things, and we know he can take a situation, and he can take the impossible, and he can make it possible. See, we want to go down that road. We know that road is still there, but the believers have quit believing that they cannot go down that road. Our Jesus can do anything. If you don't believe your church cannot be full, then guess what? Your church is not going to be full. But if you can stand up here or look around and say, you know what? I see this place full. I see people coming in from the east. I see people coming in from the west. I see people coming in from the south and the north. And I know that this place is going to be full because Jesus Christ is in the house. Because see, when it gets on the inside of you, it's a burning sensation. You can't shake it off. There's nothing you can do about it. It just happens to be there and you can't get rid of it. But this church can go such a ways that you know what? When people want to go to the hospital to get checked out, they'll say, oh no, carry me to Calvary Cathedral. Let me go there. I'd rather go there first. Don't carry me to the hospital, because I know Jesus Christ is there. I know great things are going to happen. Oh no, I'll tell you what, I need to get a loan. I need to do this. Well, look, don't carry me to the banks. Carry me to Calvary Cathedral. Carry me there, because I know Jesus is there. I know blessings are going to happen. I know great things are going to come. Because you got to speak it, and you got to believe it, and you got to know it's going to come to the pass. Believers have quit believing. They've been caught up into the TV of what the news says, and it's this and that. Well, I got something for you. Why don't the news channel come here, show this young man that just accepted Jesus Christ tonight that all heaven is rejoicing? No, they rather go and show some murder scene. They rather go show something gloom and doom, and then you set it TV, you get all depressed. But why don't we show Jesus Christ on TV? Why don't we show them what they're doing at this church? Why don't we show them what's going on? You know why? Because the believers have quit believing. And that's where we can't quit. We can't quit that believing. We got to know that it's going to work. And there's a ground that you have to watch when you go down this road. Because in Jeremiah it says, and makes flesh his strength. It's talking about power. It's talking about pride. You got to be careful about pride and don't let pride come in on the inside of you. That's why you've got to give God the glory for what he does. If you can give God the glory for what he does, he will work through you in all ways. And in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, it says, How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farther sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. See, Lucifer wanted to go higher than God. See, Lucifer thought it was all about him now. And he wanted to go higher in God. It says that Lucifer had a throne. I'm not going to preach that tonight, but it says he had a throne. He wanted to take over heaven. But God said, oh, no, 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 no. I'm number one. See, I'm number one. That's not going to happen. I'm number one. But see, it was that pride. See, it was forgotten. See, and it's forgotten with the body of Christ. Your beauty, your great things is only the reflection of what Jesus Christ does. You're only the reflection of what Jesus Christ does. That's it. That's who you are. You're the reflection of Jesus Christ. I was with the church not too long ago, and they ran into a situation, and a bad situation. And yes, they need to pay their bills, but there were some mistakes made, but it's just a nasty situation. And let me tell you, the banks have changed. Don't think the banks won't come after a church today. That publicity don't mean much anymore. They'll come and take you out in a heartbeat. So I went in there, me and Pastor Vicky, we go in there and we're talking to them. And then we had a, you know what I loved about this pastor? He didn't hold anything back from his congregation and he didn't hold anything back from his staff. I made a mistake. Well, what are you going to do? Carry him out back, put him on a whipping pole? I mean, who's not made a mistake? You know, so we're there and we're talking to the staff and we're going to go meet the banker the next day. Now, this is what I said right out of my spirit. I looked at him and I said, tomorrow will be one of the best days you've ever had. Now, he's giving me that third eye look right now. You don't understand. Do you realize where we're going? We're not going to Dairy Queen. We're going to the bank, and they kind of like to have a piece of my building. I understand, but I know who lives on the inside of me. And that roaring lion is wanting a piece of that. You know when we went and met with that banker, he was a kitty cat. You know, when we went and met with that banker, they done signed a forbearance agreement, and that's just a process that you're already in default of your loan. It's really a bad situation. Do you know they take that and say, you know what, we can put that to the side. You know what, Mr. Pastor, we'll be able to work with you. You know what, how much time do you need? We need a year. Do you know we sat right there with the presence of God, took the forbearance agreement off the table, and now he's got time to work out his situation? It's because that's what God does. Now, let me tell you the difference. Let me tell you this. My pastor preaches this all the time, merchandising the Holy Spirit. What a great time to take up an offering. You just save this from going through into bankruptcy, or you just, you know, kiss the ring, pay, you know, take up the offering. But, you know, it wasn't about that. It was about giving Jesus Christ all the glory. He just happened to use us. We're just a reflection of what God does through us. We're just a reflection of what God works through you. You're just a reflection of Jesus Christ. And see, I know this. The day that I think it's about me will be the day that God will take his hands off me. That's why he'll never take his hands off me. That's why I know God's going to do great things, because I'm not going to jump up and say, "Whoo, God, look what I did. Look at me. Look how I'm doing things." Because when it becomes about you, you won't be able to heal a headache. You won't be able to do anything, because without the anointing, you're going to look like a donkey. Because it's the anointing, it's Jesus Christ, it's all over you that makes it work. It's the anointing that Jesus Christ puts on you. But if you'll give him the glory, if you'll let him know, if you'll let people know who did it, then he'll keep using you. He wants to use you. He wants you to use you. But the question is, can you give him the glory? Or are you going to turn around and be a Lucifer? Now, I want you to catch a hold of this saying. See, you don't have to be demon-possessed to carry a Lucifer spirit. Because, see, it was about pride. It was about greed is what happened to Lucifer. See, we can say Lucifer was the first one, the first contender to go after God's throne, but he wasn't the last. It's all his children that have pride, all his children that have greed, they're going after God's throne. Because God says, "Whoa, wait a minute. I want to be number one. See, I'm not going to accept number two. I'm not going to accept number five. I want to be number one. I was the first one here. I'm not giving up my position. I want to be number one." But every failure that you see, ask yourself, was God number one? Because God can't fail. God wants that number one position. No matter what, he says, "I want to be number one in your life." And you know what? When you put God number one in your life, you know what's going to happen? Favor's going to come. Blessings are going to come. Things are going to happen that you didn't know that could happen because God's number one in your life. God don't want to be number one just in your giving. God don't want to be number one just you coming to church on Sunday. See, God wants to be number one in your life on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and Sunday. God wants to be number one 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. God wants to be number one. And guess what? He's not going to accept being number two. He wants to be number one in your life. And when he becomes number one, these great things will happen. Great things will happen in your life because you have him in that first position. See, when you put God number one, I want you to grab a hold of this. When you put God number one, he's obligated to show up. Because, see, this is what he's written in his word. See, God is not obligated to show up if you have one foot in, one foot out. He's not obligated to do anything, but that's where grace comes in. That's where you're covered by grace. But he's not obligated. He just loves his children. But when you put him number one, he's obligated to show up. When you ask, seek and knock, whatever you ask for, he's obligated to show up because you have him number one. See, I'm not going to get to heaven. And they say, "Well, now, Randy, you could have asked for more." When I get to heaven, they're going to say, "My gosh, you didn't leave anything on the table. My gosh, you asked for everything. What was wrong with you?" "Well, you wrote it. I didn't write it. You said I could ask for it. I just thought I'd go ahead and ask for it because I really think you're going to give it to me. See, I really think you're going to come through because I know I have you number one in my life, and I know you're going to be obligated to come through. So I'm just going to keep asking. I don't want to get to heaven." They go, "You could have asked for a whole lot more." "Not me, baby. I'm going to work them hard." They're going to say, "Thank God you're at home. It's a celebration, but you worked us, buddy. You worked us because I'm going to ask him. Because I know my position. I know that I'm going to put him number one in my life. I know that I'm going to live my life the best that I can." And you know what? It's for you too. It's just not for one person. It's for all of his children. Because he wants to bless all of his children. He wants to give his children everything that he can possibly give his children. See, we can speak faith. But the question is, can you see your mountain move? You can speak faith, But are you just giving it lip service, or are you watching your mountain move? See, faith cannot move if you don't have him, number one. See, when I speak to my mountain, I look down at my mountain. I don't look eye to eye. I don't look up. I don't look here. I look straight down because I'm above all principalities, and he's under my feet. So therefore, I'm looking down at my mountain, and I'm saying, get out of my way. I know who lives on the inside of me because I know the authority that I have. I know what the book of Ephesians says. It says when Jesus Christ was risen from the dead and sitting in high heavenly places, sitting at the right hand of the Father, guess what? He carried you with him. And that means I have authority, so therefore I can speak to my mountain. And when I speak to my mountain, I just go, Daddy, Daddy, I got a problem right here. Will you take care of it for me, Daddy? Take care of my mountain right here, Daddy, because I got a problem right here because I know you're on the inside of me, and Daddy, I need for you to take care of this. And I'll tell you what, Daddy, while you're there, just smack him one for me. See, you've got to raise up, and you've got to have boldness without no fear. Amen. It's time that we Christians raise up and know who we are and know who's on the inside of us and know the kind of authority that we have. You got to be able to call your blessings in. You got to be able to speak it. But the main thing is you got to believe it. The believers have quit believing. They don't realize who's on the inside of them. They don't realize what Jesus Christ can do. Because I'm sure there's some of you sitting out here right now saying, you know what, Pastor, I need a breakthrough. You know what, Pastor, I'm going through this. Whatever you're going through, Jesus Christ is your answer. Whatever your situation is, Jesus Christ is your answer. Jesus Christ is the one that can take your situation. He's the one that can take the impossible and make it possible. But you got to believe it. Nobody's talking me out of that. Nobody's talking me out of that because when I read the Bible, I literally believed it. So I'm not going to do it any other way. Because I know who lives on the inside of me. I did. I come from the business world. I don't want to paint you a picture that was just, you know, I had everything in the world. You know, but you know what? I was very successful. I came from a business family. 17 years old, I already owned my first restaurant. I owned a restaurant. You know, me and the school thing didn't get along too good. I graduated when I was 40. I was a little slow. But I did it for my mother. At 40 years old, I thought I'd go get a high school diploma. She got me up every day, and I didn't do it. I feel like I need to close that window. So I said, and I called her. I said, Mom, guess what? I graduated. She was crying. I have the ring for it. It wasn't because I needed it. I sat in a business family at a very young age. You just knew business. You just knew how to go out and make things happen. I have no regrets about that. But I know there was something missing. I love Jesus. I had Jesus in my heart. It wasn't about me. It wasn't about a heaven or a hell situation. I just knew something was missing. I knew there was more. And Pastor Vicki and I, when we went into the ministry, we went into the ministry in our prime. Many companies in our prime. But something was missing. You can feel something's just missing. And we answer the call. And I remember getting a call from Pastor Rodney's office. Will you come and help us? And you know, when God gets a hold of you, you want to go, nah, yes. Yes. And my wife said, what was that about? I said, you need to hear the whole story first. You're going to like this one. But you know what? I have such a great wife. She never doubted it. She never said, no, you didn't hear from God. She says, you know what? I know you're a man of God. And you know what? If that's what you heard, then I'm going to be right there with you. And you know what? What I went to work for, I'm talking a big percentage of not making what you were making. Huge. I didn't really know no better. I just knew, said, God, you're going to show up. I'm not going to my kids now and tell them I can't buy any more milk no more. Why? Because daddy went into the ministry? No, I actually read the Bible. I actually believe God can do anything. So I did. We go into the ministry. We go down that journey and everything's just fine. We go to South Africa. It messes our heads up. Well, here we come Easter Sunday. And I shared this with the staff today. Here we are Easter Sunday in the front row at RMI, Worldwide Ministry, praising God, dancing, hallelujah. God can do anything. He's the greatest. I had to go through that week. We bought a piece of property. We had to pay some bills. It cost us about $100,000. We wrote a check. Everything's fine. Love God. Great. God goes, do you trust me? Of course I trust you. I'm a, you know, like y'all here, just praising him. Do you trust me? Yeah, God, I trust you. Do you trust me? Yes, God, I trust you. You're the greatest God. And I mean, you're the great. Look, I mean, thanks for taking care of us this week. And he looked, and I heard the voice. He said, give me everything you got. Now, that will stop your praise and worship. And when you're at RMI like this on the front row, you kind of stand out. No, you're kind of going, this would have been a good day to sit in the back. You know, I'm just not going, I'm not over-spiritualizing this. I'm not going, oh, that's great, God, I'm glad you told me that. Yeah, let's do that today. That's great. Glad I came to church today. Give you everything I've got. No problem. And then I looked at my wife. She's crying. I said, what are you crying about? She goes, God said, give him everything that we had. I said, great, he can talk to two people at the same time. But you know, that day, we came into agreement. That's why when people say, I think I broke my alabaster box, I got news for you. If you have to think about it, you didn't break it, because you're going to know it. Right. Nothing to think about, you're going to know it. And that day we came into agreement, and I don't know where. I know at that time Pastor Rodney had a thing going on. If you was to pay $25,000, it would buy a house over in South Africa. I don't know one family. I don't know how many families, but I know somewhere, heaven knows, that me and my wife own a house in South Africa that a family or families are living in. And you know what? We gave God everything that we had. And I walked out the side, outside the four walls of the church, and the Holy Spirit said, now. You love it when he says now. He goes, now. You have to believe in me. Yes, I do. And you know what? That would be about 8 years, right around 8 years now coming up. There's no halo over our heads. There's no rose petals out in front of us. But God has never let us down. He's always been there. He's always showed up. Because why? We believe. Believers have quit believing. We believe. And I know you believe. But raise your belief system up. Kenneth Hagin said, whatever your needs are, if you don't have, then you need to raise your faith up to meet your needs. You got to believe it. And quit buying in. Quit drinking the Kool-Aid of what the world says. You look at your church and you're going to want, this is the best church around. You look at your church and go, I know it's about the kingdom. You look at your church and you say, I know this church is going to be full. You look at your church and say, I know it's been 50 years, but now it's a new day. Because I know God can do anything and all things. Because he's on the inside of you. Can you say amen? Amen? I want you to know who lives on the inside of you. And I'm gonna close with this. I want to pray for some people. Because I want you, as I deliver this message, I want you to ask yourself a question. Is God number one in your life? Because if he's number one in your life, great things are going to happen. See, God can't be number one in your life in just certain areas. God can't be number one, as I mentioned a while ago, just in your giving. You can't buy the Holy Spirit. You can't give and then go out in the world and live a sin life and expect God to be honoring what you're doing. It does not work that way. That's not what it's about, and that's the problem. There's too many messages preached. If you just give, everything's okay. I'm here about a breakthrough. It's not okay. It's about you falling in love with Jesus Christ. It's about you putting Him number one. It's about Him being number one in your life. And when you give, and when you give your life to Christ, great things are going to happen, because there's absolutely nothing that Jesus Christ cannot do for you. There's absolutely not a situation that Jesus Christ cannot take the impossible and make it possible. And you can ask, Pastor, how do you feel? Why do you say that? Because I want to remind you who lives on the inside of you. If I ask you who lives on the inside of you, you'll tell me Jesus lives on the inside of you. But I want to let you know who that Jesus lives is that lives on the inside of you. He's the same one that delivered Daniel from the lion's den. He's the same one that parted the Red Sea for Moses. He's the same one that delivered Goliath into David's hands. He's the same one that delivered Jonah out of the belly of a fish. He's the same one that healed the woman with issue blood. He's the same one who fed 5,000 with five loaves and two fish. He's the same one that comes and seeks and saves which is lost. He's our Alpha, Omega, Almighty, baptizer of the Holy Ghost in fire. He's our chief cornerstone, our comforter, our counselor, creator of all things, Emmanuel, faithful and true, the finisher of the faith, the first and the last, God's anointing, great I am, head of the church, the intercessor, the judge of the quick and the dead, the King of the Jews, the Lamb of the God, the light of the world, the only begotten Son, our Passover, the line of tribe of Judah, the living bread, the Prince of Peace, the Redeemer of the world, the living stone, the living water, the resurrection and life, the rock of heaven, the Lord of glory, the mediator, the Son of God, the true vine, the Messiah, the mighty one of Israel. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. His name is Jesus, the Son of God, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. See, that's who lives on the inside of you. So when the world tells you can't make it, say, I'm sorry, excuse me. What does that mean? Because I've already made it. He's the fourth man in the fire. I know that my God can do anything. I know that He can take the impossible and He can make it possible. Because you believe. Because you're a believer. That you know that He can do anything. See, there was this king one time that was so mean that none of the people liked him just because how mean he was. I mean, really mean, and all of a sudden he dies and his son takes over and he says, you know what? I don't want to be like my father, and I want to be able to give you things. I want to be able to change that whole environment. But you know, the people didn't believe it. The people didn't believe that that could actually change. Because of his father. He says, and I tell you what I'm going to do. On this day, I want everybody to line up. And whatever you ask me for, I'm going to give you. And you know what? The people lined up. And you know what they did? They asked for things just to get by. They just barely asked for things. Except for that last person. He said, oh king, the castle that you have, I want one just like that. And the people said, you know what? This is not going to go good. He does not need to talk that way. He's going to get us all killed. He said, oh, king, for every servant that you have, I want one too. He said, oh, king, all the property that you have on the other side of the mountain, that's where I want my castle to sit. And the people going, we better shut him up. He's going to get us killed. I'm telling you, we're setting up like ducks here. He's going to get us killed. He said, king, whatever you have, I won't. And they started rushing him to kill him. And the king said, stop. Leave him alone. He said, finally, somebody has recognized me for who I am. See, we need to recognize Jesus for who He is. because He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We need to recognize Him for who He is. Just bow your heads. I know there's been an altar call made tonight. I know for salvation. But you know what? I want to make a call tonight. If God's not number one in your life, that you're going to put Him number one in your life. I want you to think about that and ask yourself this question. Do you have Him number one in your life? Not just partially in your life, but in all areas of your life. Do you have Jesus Christ number one in your life? Because when you mean business with God, He means business with you. And when you put Him number one in your life, in all areas of your life, He's going to show up like He's never showed up before. Because He loves His children. If that's you tonight, and you're sitting here by uplifting your hand, you're saying, Pastor, I really don't know, I don't have Him number one in my life, and I would like to. If that's you, raise your hand where you're sitting at. Thank you. 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 Just make your way down to the front here because we want to pray with you and for you. Because this is your breakthrough. This is how things are going to work in your life. Because He has to be number one. God is not going to accept number two. He's not going to accept number five. I want to be number one. When people see you, they're going to see Jesus Christ. When they see the way that you walk, when they see the way that you talk, they're going to see Jesus on the inside of you. If they don't see Jesus on the inside of you, the way that you're talking, the way that you're walking, then you need to change the way that you talk and to change the way that you're walking. Because they need to see who He is. Because our God can take the impossible and He can make it possible. No matter what. It's going to be a new day for each and every one of you here in this congregation. For the ones lined up at this altar, it's a new day for you. Because God, you have God number one in your life. People are still coming. I'm going to take my time here because this is what the service is about. It's about falling in love with Jesus all over again, knowing that He can do anything, knowing that He can do all things. Because I know some of you are struggling to do this and to do that, but I got a word for you. Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you. There's no more struggling. It's speaking your faith. It's speaking what you can do, that Jesus Christ can do all things. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't want to miss this. Your life is changing right now. He knows every cry. What you don't realize is He's caught every tear. There's nothing that you can go through that's impossible for Him, but He says, keep your eyes on Me. You put Me number one and you watch what I'll do for you. You've tried it your way, but now I need for you to try it My way. Every one of you, sit, you just see the glow. You can see how Jesus is speaking to you on this. Nothing's too big. Nothing's too big. Do you believe 100% that Jesus Christ can do anything and all things? Then we're going to start petitioning heaven and let them know that He can do anything. That heaven is moving on your behalf right now. That heaven is orchestrating on your behalf right now. That heaven is moving obstacles out of the way that you can't even see just by putting Him number one. It's called the anointing. Just lift your hands, lift them high. Jesus knows your needs. You know, this is going to be a corporate type prayer because He knows all your needs. But tonight, Father, we come to You. Tonight, Father, we're petitioning heaven on our behalf that, Father, You know our needs. Father, You know what I need. Father, I will say and repent that I've not had You number one. But from this night forward and the rest of the days of my life, Father, I'm going to put You number one in my life. I'm going to let people see me that Jesus is on the inside of me. That when they see me in the way that I talk, that they'll know that You're on the inside of me. That it will be so good that what I have, they're going to want. And I will be able to win them to You, Father, that let them know that Jesus Christ is on the inside of me and He's there for you. That your lives are changed. That God can do anything. Father, we lift up every prayer need. Father, we lift up every situation to You tonight at this altar, and we know that You're going to breathe on it. Father, we know that that Your blood has cleansed us from our sins. But Father, we know that our needs are going to be met because we're going to put You number one in our life. We thank You, Father. We thank You for what You've done. We thank You for the miracles that You're performing on our behalf right now. We thank You, Jesus. And just give Him my hand, church. Give Him my hand for what Jesus Christ is doing right now. Just look at me for a second here. Every one of y'all. God knows your needs. I don't have to go down and say, hey, what's your need? God knows your needs. He knows what your needs are right now. But He's handling your needs right now. But He's saying, you've got to put Me in that first position. And that's why you've answered the altar call, and God's going to take your situation and He's going to turn it around. And you know what? This is going to be something good for you. This is Wednesday, but guess what? Tomorrow, Thursday, is going to be one of the best days that you've ever had. Thursdays is going to be over the top for you. And when Thursdays are over the top for you, you know what that does? It sets up Friday to even be better, because Friday is going to be a great day. Saturday is going to be one of your best days, and you're going to come back in this church on Sunday. And you're going to testify to some of the pastors here what Jesus has done for you in the last 3 days, because it's going to be over the top. Can you say hallelujah? Praise God. Just thank You. Just go back to your seats here for a second. Give my hand, church. Hallelujah.